three old-time preachers who are favorites of mine, and all of them are gone after living quite a long life following the Lord, are Charles Spurgeon and Matthew Henry. Charles Spurgeon was an old Baptist preacher from England. Matthew Henry wrote a whole commentary on the Bible rather early in terms of people doing that in somewhat contemporary world. And the last one, who wasn't a preacher but an educator, was named Frank Laubach. He was an educational expert who went to the country of India and translated the Bible into all kind of dialects that would help the folks in India to become literate. That was his specialty. And so he used God's word to help people to read and also to help people to know Christ. One good thing leading to another greater thing, to know the Lord. And he wrote in his journal in 1930 something that has always captured my attention, and I thought would pass it on to you once again, to be motivated to have a heart after God. And those three preachers, Matthew Henry, Charles Spurgeon, and Frank Laubach, took the verse, "I have set the Lord before me at all times," or "I have always set the Lord before me," from Psalm 16. And this is what he wrote about that. He said, "Can we have contact with God all the time?" That's not just knowing God's around us, which he is, but to have a friendship and a constant awareness that he's with us, just like you would to the person around you or to the work that you put yourself to. Can we have contact with God all the time? He said, "Can we fall asleep in his arms and wake up in his presence?" Very comforting thoughts. We do that physically. Fall asleep in his arms, wake up in his presence. We'll do that in our soul someday. When our life is done, we end our life in God's arms. We wake up in heaven in his presence. And he says, "Welcome home." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise, that last day that you and I live." But Laubach said, "Can we have a continuous conversation and a surrender in our hearts to God in his will and in a prayer life?" He said, I want to make the rest of my life an experiment in answering that question. So that was his big goal. And he almost put it in terms of educational scientists, you know. I want to see if this could really happen. And he wasn't just having a little hobby about it. He thought this would really be the essence of the gift of salvation, being constantly aware of God's presence. "I have set the Lord always before me." Psalm 16. "I have set the Lord always before me." Would you and I be invited to do that by the Holy Spirit today? The other parts of Scripture certainly speak of that. Hebrews 12 says, "Fix your thoughts on Jesus." Jesus taught, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Other things would be added to you." You know, what we fix our thoughts on is really important. Our thoughts are fixed on something at all times. When I was getting into schoolwork, I was often accused of being doing okay at many things, but not an expert in any one particular thing. And being a bit of having my mind move around a lot. But the Lord lets us know our minds were meant to be disciplined and focused in one direction. And often if we don't ask God for help in that, our minds will focus in on self or sin, since those are very prevalent in our soul and around us. But God's word, with King David leading the way, says, "I will set the Lord before me at all times." Can we think of him often and make that a goal for our life? Frank Laubach was no mystic. He was a teacher. He was a professor and later a dean of a college. And a mystic is somebody who sits in inactivity and doesn't do much and thinks a lot. But he was constantly involved in practical work and had to be around people all the time. And yet at the same time, he had as a goal to have contact with God at all times, just to be aware of him, to pray in him. He said that the concentration on the Lord like this can be strenuous, does require a yielding to God, But he said, when I do that, everything else becomes less strenuous. When I'm with people, people don't become a burden. They become someone to pass on a blessing to. That's what an awareness of God does, setting the Lord before us at all times. And he said, the only really thing that could go wrong in my life is not the work that I do, but that God would slip from my mind. And when you think about that, to face life without friendship with God, that would be something really that could go wrong this week. God's word says, I've set the Lord before me at all times. To be preoccupied with Christ as an invitation from him to us. And a lot of us are preoccupied with life around us or perhaps a problem we have. I went to the dentist this past week and the procedure was about an hour or so. It was only one cavity. It must have been a whopper. But as I sat there, I began to think, I wonder when the pain is going to occur. I became preoccupied with that, waiting for the pain. Would it ever happen? Never happened. And I was thankful for the excellent work of the dentist and the assistant there. But if we're not occupied with Christ, we will be occupied with something else. And most of that something else is going to be detrimental if God is not a main part of our thought life at that point. If we leave the garden of our minds or our hearts untended, and all kind of corruption will happen there. And that's a natural part of our fallen nature. But God's word says, I have set the Lord before me at all times. When we become focused on Christ and have our minds fixed on him, consider Jesus. The book of Hebrews says it's a great cure for the anxiety that you and I would have, getting our minds and hearts preoccupied with other things. Jesus said people will naturally worry about the cares of life. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? Those are natural things. They could choke out the good seed of God's word. Once a pastor said that being anxious about life is often like the fear of flying. We had somebody at the first service who was taken off this week on a flight that they were concerned about. And then the pastor said, when you have a fear of flying, every bump and every noise in the plane is something that you feel, you know, threatens your eternal destiny, virtually. And it can be quite an uptight experience. I have that myself. And so when you're anxious, your mind is just focused in a direction often not based in what's really there from God. When we're on the plane, we have a chance to do as the pilot suggests, or we have a chance to attempt to control things ourselves. What would we do if we're anxious about the journey we're on? We could attempt to fly the plane from row 23 with our white knuckles holding on. None of us really know how the engine works. None of us know the expertise that the pilot has. Years of training, his alertness, his awareness of everything. And so if we were to try to attempt to take over, that would be a foolish thing. But the pilot asks us when we get on the plane and make the commitment to take the journey, he gets over the loudspeaker, he says, sit back, enjoy the flight. Enjoy the flight. That's the direction. Knowing he's in charge. And if you and I do that, then we are blessed in the trip that we take. If we don't do that, it's quite a miserable thing. When people thought about what life was all about, the Westminster Confession says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To have joy in God, the focus of our thoughts and hearts. I have set the Lord before me at all times. And to set the Lord before us is a matter of focus. When we don't look at the Lord, we will look at the brokenness only and the sin only that's around us. What controls your thought life and sets the tone for your emotions throughout any one given week. Is it what is happening around you? Perhaps it's the evening news that you watch just for a half hour or so, and you see that. You see the activities and problems and crime and violence and things like that, and you say, that's what the world is right there. That's the news that that I take in. You know, and some of you ask you, well, what's your thinking like? What direction do you feel things are going in the world? And you say, it is a sin-saturated world. And that's all I see. That's where my mind is. That's where my focus is. And you would be half right to see the troubles and the sin and the brokenness and the heartache that is there. But as you watch that news, or perhaps run with the crowd you run with, God is probably not a part of the conversation. He's not a part of the focus. And so he's not the part of the focus of your thinking or of your mind or of your direction. And that of course, is missing the main one who is there. I have set the Lord before me at all times. And God would be there to be more prevalent than even the things around us that our minds would focus on or attach to. The Bible says where sin abounded, when we see the brokenness of the world, grace abounded all the more. Is that the perspective you have? Where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. God is at work in spite of the great trouble and brokenness in your soul or in the world around you. Someone said, at least give God equal time in terms of the focus of your attention. You give the what you see part of the time, and then you walk by faith, not by sight, in terms of what is there and what God is doing. In Isaiah chapter 6, the perspective of the angels for all the world is this: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. That's what's really there. That's what the angels see. Would God give us a focus on the Lord so that we see that and we become like an educational expert who says, I wonder if I can have friendship with God all the time, even in this troubled world, even in a country where 3/4 of the people don't have enough food, India, and 80% of the people cannot read. Can I have the Lord before me at all times in a land like that? How about in America that has countless blessings and countless literacy opportunities and chances to serve God? Certainly where sin abounded, grace would abound all the more. At least give God equal time. It would be foolish and ignorant to do otherwise if we just thought thoughts that were not of God and that He did not have anything to do with. And so to yield our thoughts to God and say, Lord, with Your help, help me set You before me at all times. I think we need God's help to do this. Otherwise, our minds will head toward the gutter and probably stay there and merely describe the spiritual darkness that is there. Once Jesus was about to heal a boy, a young boy, and the boy's dad loved the boy very much, wasn't quite sure whether Jesus would intervene. And we're like that. We're not quite sure if the Lord's going to help us in any state that we're in. And so the man said, Jesus said, you know, if you believe, great things are possible. And the man who really loved his son, could you imagine being able to say this to God? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We could pray a prayer in terms of the focus of our love and our minds and our thoughts. Lord, I do love You. Help me in my unlove. Lord, I think of You. Help me in the times I don't think of You. And if we pray asking God for help, with the direction of our thoughts and actions to follow, he'll certainly provide that. Lord, I love, help me when I don't love you. We need God's help to love God. We need God's intervention to put him before us at all times. And it's best to ask what we don't have on our own. It's best to ask for that. Lord, give us a heart after yourself, an undivided heart. With God's help, we can set the Lord before us at all times. I think when we do that, it's helpful to remember that we're not, we are a part of the story that Jesus is writing throughout history. The story of your life is really the story of what Jesus is doing in 2008 and 2009 coming up. He's very busy doing things in people's hearts and in the earth. And that's really, you fit in on that story in a key way. A number of years ago, there was a movie put out about the second coming of Christ called Left Behind. And it was filmed in Toronto, Canada. And I knew a couple who, Bill and Wendy, who were part of the church, who went to be a part of that film. And they said, they heard the news that in this film that was about Jesus, we needed people to come and be a part of it. So they said, this is great, let's go. So they drove to Toronto, Canada, and were very willing. Said, we'll do whatever it takes just to be a part of a story about Jesus. That's for me. You know, what do we do? And so I say, the director says, we need people to come and walk through a mall. Okay, that's your part. You walk through the mall. Don't stop and linger at the store forever. Walk through. Keep moving. And they said, okay, we'll do that. And there they went through the mall with about 30 other people. And the one particular part of the story was people walking through the mall. And there they were, Bill and Wendy. They did their part. That was very good. And the story was about Jesus. Now, they would not say when the movie was over. By the way, you could see them on the film for about 5 seconds out of about an hour and a half movie. There they were. And now they wouldn't say about their part in the story, hey, come see this story. We're right in the middle of the story. You should see this. This is great. There we are. Remember? And say, yeah, Bill and Wendy, we cheer you on. We're glad for you. And the whole story, remember, was about Jesus. Now, you and I, in our following of Christ, we're probably involved in walking with the Lord a little bit more than 5 seconds in a mall. Hopefully. Unless that was the only friendship we had with the Lord at the time. You know, 5 seconds of our life. Or maybe a little bit more. But to be able to say, as joyful and as glad as Bill and Wendy were, just to be in a story about Christ. You know, you and I can be as joyful and as glad and as fulfilled to be in a story that Jesus is writing. Year 2008, he's writing that story. He says, I need you to do this. Would you? Yes, I would. Would you remember the point of the story? Yes, it's the Lord. Would you be able to set the Lord before you at all times as you take your part in the stories God is writing? Yes, I want to do that. And as you and I do that, we'll give great honor and glory to God, and we'll be very fulfilled as his people. That friendship he invites us to. King David, who had a lot of responsibilities, he said, I set the Lord always before me. And I thought, boy, how are we going to do this? That's really hard to do, especially since our minds go in 100 different directions. First, I thought about my own life, and I said, I wonder in the course of a week, how often do I have unbroken friendship with Christ? On his end, it doesn't break. I wonder how often on my end I'm actually thinking of him and talking to him and in connection with him. And I did want to share what the conclusion was, either because of either pride or embarrassment. But this, I could share this. When I am in conversation with Christ quietly about something. Whatever I'm doing, I feel God's help in it. I feel God's presence in it. And I feel this really counts for eternity. It's a very, very important time, whether I'm with people or just messing around at home or whatever the case is. When I leave God behind and say, I don't want to think about Him, I'll think about Him when I open my Bible, then most of the stuff that I get into is fairly shallow, very temporary, very meaningless, and it passes. Doesn't really count for much at all. And it's just like a vapor that before you know it is not there. And to be invited by God to say, we could set the Lord before us at all times, certainly an honor. I thought of how to do that real practically in closing to share this, to contrast a biblical theme and an atheist theme. The atheist, when he looks around the world, and particularly when he looks at people, he will see nothing but problems and pain. That's the perspective of an atheist. That's probably why they're an atheist. There was one atheist in history, Jean-Paul Sartre, who made a statement one time that really depicted his view of life. He said this about people. When he would look at people, he would say, hell is other people. Okay? That was his perspective. That's what he set before his mind at all times. When he would see people, he would just say, hell. You know, life without God. That's what it reminded him of. The Bible, when it views people, people that you see, people that you worship with today, when the Bible sees people, the Bible doesn't say hell is other people. The Bible says other people. That's who Jesus loves. They're the ones made in God's image. They are the ones who Jesus went to the cross for. They are the ones Jesus rose from the dead for. When you see people, you see the hand of God. That's the biblical perspective. And as you and I walk around in the world and want to pass Christ on to other people, might as you see people, may you say, look, it's like the Lord set these people before me. And I can set the Lord before me at all times when I look at people, because I'm reminded who the Creator and Redeemer of all these dear lives are. It is Christ. And you walk in that truth. You walk in the world the way it really is. And you become preoccupied with the Savior and His mission to change lives all around and even our lives as we follow Him. Might we have a time of silence before God and be at peace with Him through faith in Christ. If you've never put your trust in Christ, know that, boy, when He looks at you, His passionate, committed love, loyal, faithful love is for you this morning. You'd yield your life to Him. And if you're a child of His, to set God before you at all times as an invitation from Him. Let's pray silently. Lord, hear our silent prayers. If someone is here who would never put trust in Christ, might they say, Lord, I trust You. I need Your friendship and Your salvation. Come into my life and change me forever. Hear those silent prayers. And Lord, we join other people, other saints of Yours who have feet of clay, whether it's King David or Matthew Henry or Charles Spurgeon or Frank Laubach, and we just hear Your voice and Your words that saying, I set the Lord always before me. Might we do that, Lord, with Your help. We love You. Help our unlove. Our eyes are fixed on You. Help us in the times they are not. And might we know friendship with You on a moment-by-moment basis. Hear our prayers of surrender and commitment. Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Encourage us as we go to see you in many places. In your name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us as we sing the final hymn?